Welcome to everyone. We are going to be reviewing Psalms 27 through Psalms 50. Ray did a good job of introducing Psalms last week, and I appreciate that. I told him that he made some really good points, so I won't have to repeat some of the things that he went over. One thing I have learned about Psalms in studying this is that there's a basic theme of Psalms of living in the real world, in a physical world, and then also living in a spiritual world, living in a relationship to God. Of course, the physical is here, what we see around us, and the things that affect us in a physical way. And then in a spiritual way is our relationship to God. Even those who are not believers, how they deal with life and how they deal with other people. So in view of that, the book of Psalms presents a broad array of faith, simply put, in day-to-day living. The sinfulness of man is documented very firmly, very concretely, not only through the behavior patterns of the wicked, which we're going to look at, but also by the periodic stumblings of believers, of people just like us, of David and those who wrote Psalms, how they lived a life and how from time to time, even a man as great as David in faith, a man who has been described as a man after God's own heart, from time to time made bad decisions. The sovereignty of God is everywhere and recognized, but not at the expense of our responsibility, how we are responsible for our actions in this life. Life often seems to be out of control, and yet all events and situations are understood in the light of divine providence as being right on course according to God's timetable. And that was something that I've had a hard time learning over the years, is that even when we pray, as we see here in some of the Psalms, as David prayed, God doesn't necessarily answer our prayers when we think we should have them answered. But in his time, then those prayers are answered. And it's not always the way in which we think that they can be answered. But God, of course, is perfect in all ways. And so his timetable has always taken precedent. Also, I wanted to mention is that the book of Psalms gives us a glimpse from time to time of the day of reckoning that is fast approaching. There is a day of reckoning. There is a time in which all of us, the righteous and the wicked, are going to be judged. Of course, we that are believers are going to be passed from that judgment because we have believed in the only way of salvation, which is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we have made that promise and that vow to God that we will be faithful. But the wicked will be judged, and they will be judged for all eternity. This day of reckoning should encourage us to have a perseverance to the very end of our life. So let us start with Psalms 27. Now these Psalms here, Psalms 27 through 41, are Psalms of David, King David. And what I've decided to do is, as I've read through these, and in my Bible, there's a heading at the top of the Psalms there. It just kind of gives a brief description of a prayer for protection and guidance, of pardon. And I've tried not to just look at that, but I've tried to pull out certain key verses in these Psalms, what would really speak to me as an individual. Sometimes David, when he's writing these Psalms and praying to God, it's on behalf of the nation of Israel, and as king and as leader. But also I try to take it on a personal level. What does that mean to me? How can I relate to this in my life as an employee, as a father, as a child of my parents? How can I incorporate these things, these feelings, these deep feelings that David had of sometimes of fear and of anguish, and apply it to my life? So what I've tried to do is, as I read through these, and I'm not going to read every verse, but I'm going to try to pull out certain key verses in these Psalms. So in verse 27, I see here that David has a fearless trust in God. I want to start reading in verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamped against me, my heart will not fear. the war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. And that should be our plea also. When we come upon difficulties in our life, no, there aren't people camping around our house ready to destroy us, ready to attack us. But in some sense, you know, if we, on a job or in school, and we're a Christian, and we portray the characteristics of being a Christian, we're going to face persecution. We're going to face some mocking and testing of our faith. We need to be ready for that, and we need to have a ready answer for those things. Psalms 28. Here I would say this is a call for help and an assurance of God's answer. And I'll start in verse 6. Verse 6, 7, and 8. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exalts, and with my song I shall thank him. The Lord is their strength, and he is a saving defense to his anointed. And again, trusting in God, we see here that David has always put his trust in God. Though he didn't make right decisions all the time, he had his assurance that God would answer his prayers also. Psalms 29, the voice of the Lord is powerful, and we're going to find out just how powerful it is. In verse 4 of Psalms 29, the voice of the Lord is powerful, the voice of the Lord is majestic. And when I stop and think about how powerful God is, as Les has pointed out so many times in showing creation versus evolution, God spoke things into existence. In Genesis 1:3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And that is power. God will bless his people. And we see that in verse 11. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And I believe the peace that David is talking about here is spiritual peace. That we have this peace between us and God because we have done the things that God has commanded us to do. Psalms number 30. Here is a trust in the Lord no matter what comes in life. And unexpected things do come upon us in this life. And in Psalms 30, verses 4 and 5, sing praise to the Lord, you godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last a night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. And how many of us, dealing with a problem, whether it be a spiritual problem or a physical problem, a family issue, that we feel like it's never going to end, and it's going to go on and on. But it doesn't. All things will pass. And as here as it says, you know, God's anger or his discipline is but for a short time. But then in the morning, we share in his blessings once again. Psalms 31. Hope and trust in God against the wicked of today. And this is a challenge, I think, to most of us. Starting in verse 14. But as for me, I trust in thee, O Lord. I say, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me in thy loving kindness. Let me not be put to shame, O Lord, for I call upon thee. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them be silent in Sheol. Let the lying lips be dumb, which speak arrogantly against the righteous with pride and contempt. And we can see how God deals with the ungodly. One second. Okay. Starting in verse 23 of Psalms 31. Oh, love the Lord, all you godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. That doesn't go exactly what I was saying about how he deals with the wicked. But the point I want to make there was that he fully recompenses the proud doer. Those who walk arrogantly, those who live in a world of self-centeredness and selfishness, God will deal with him. And again, looking to that day of reckoning. In Psalms 32, forgiveness of our sins. And this is so important that we know we have forgiveness of our sins if we are faithful to confess our sins. Starting in verse 1. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. through my groaning all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fervent heat of summer. I acknowledge my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. And I believe it is so important that we understand that when we sin and we recognize that we have fallen short and that we've done wrong, we must quickly go to God in prayer. We must quickly go to God and ask for forgiveness. Just like the prodigal son, when he came to his senses, he said, I will go to my father and I will say, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And that is how we are to be. Quickly respond to the sin that is in our life. In Psalms 33, we should be thankful because we are citizens of the kingdom. And as being citizens of his kingdom, we should rejoice. Starting in verse 10, the Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. Hold on a second here. I want to make sure I'm going to get this right here. Yes. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. And we are citizens of that kingdom, and we should rejoice always. In verse 18, he says, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness. Nations of the world will be judged. But since we have a citizenship in God's kingdom, we pass from that judgment. But those who are without citizenship in that kingdom will face the judgment. Psalms 34. This is to practice righteousness. We are to listen to wisdom. And starting in verse 11 of Psalms 34. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And again, this is a confidence that we can have in God, that no matter what we've done, no matter how we have fallen short, God will always accept us when we confess our sins and we are welcomed back to him. In Psalms 35, this is a prayer for God to help the weak and the just. And some of these verses speak of Christ at his mock trial. I'm going to focus on those two later, but right now I want to focus on verse 20, 24, and 27, and 28. Again, this is God's help for those who are weak and the just. Verse 20. For they do not seek peace, but they devise deceitful words against those who are quiet in the land. Let me go up here to verse 24. Judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness, and do not let them rejoice over me. In verse 27 and verse 28. Let them shout for joy and rejoice who favor my vindication. And let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall declare thy righteousness and thy praise all day long. The two verses that I was referring to is verse 11, in which malicious witnesses have risen up against me, and they speak and they ask me things of which I do not know. And in verse 19, do not let those who are wrongfully my enemies rejoice over me. Neither let those who hate me without a cause wink maliciously. Psalms 36. This is a contrast of the wickedness of man and those who are faithful to God. Starting in verse 4. He plans wickedness upon his bed. He sets himself on a path that is not good. He does not despise evil. Thy loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Thy faithfulness reaches to the skies. Thy righteousness is like the mountains of God. Thy judgments are like a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How precious is thy loving kindness, O God, and the children of men take refuge in the shadow of thy wings. They drink their fill of the abundance of thy house, and thou dost give them to drink of the river of thy delights. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light we see light. Psalms 37, this is a security of those who trust in the Lord. We'll start in verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. And he will bring forth your righteousness as light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evildoing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. We can see what's going to happen to those who live a wicked life and forsake the teachings of God. In verse 12 and in verse 13, the wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and bent the bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. Their swords will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken. God in his righteousness will always help those who believe in him and trust in him. And the wicked, those who have wicked plans, they will come to a bitter end. In Psalms 38, our sin can weigh us down, and our only hope is in the Lord. And in verse 4, starting in verse 4, for my iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they weigh too much for me. My wounds grow foul and fester because of my falling. I am bent over and greatly bowed down. I go mourning all day long, for my loins are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am benumbed and badly crushed. I groan because of the agitation of my heart. But when we confess our sin, God is merciful toward us. In verse 18, for I confess my iniquity, I am full of anxiety because of my sins. But when we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us. In Psalms 39, I've put this: we all must face the reality of death. We do not live forever on this earth, and a lot of people, and I see it on a day-to-day basis, really believe that they're going to live forever. They make plans as though they're never going to die, and they're never going to have to face a judgment, and that they're going to go on living forever. But we know that our days are short. And in Psalms 39, starting in verse 4, Lord, make me know my end, and what is the extent of my days? Let me know how transient I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as handbreadths, and my lifetime as nothing in thy sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. Surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I have become dumb. I do not open my mouth, because it is thou who hast done it. Remove thy plague from me, because of the opposition of thy hand I am perishing. With reproofs thou dost chasten a man for iniquity. Thou dost consume as a moth what is precious to him. Surely every man is a mere breath. Psalms 40. This is a life that has been lived in trusting God and God alone. And starting in verse 5, I'm sorry, starting in verse 1 through 5 of Psalms 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. And he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust, and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which thou hast done, and thy thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. I believe Earl read this morning after the announcements, and it's very inspiring to read this, that We as Christians, we as believers in God, when we live our life faithfully, we have this confidence that God will make sure our footsteps are firm and that He directs our way. Psalms 41. This is a psalm to be merciful to others. And starting in verse 1, he says, "How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble." And in reading this, I think back to Matthew when Jesus is talking about the Beatitudes. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Some people say, we must bless God continually to have this blessing of mercy so that we might be merciful. I've heard many people say, you know, God bless America, especially our elected officials. And, you know, they'll give a speech and then they'll say, "God bless America." And so often I've thought we should praise God by saying that we bless our God, for we hold His truths in our heart and we guide our lives and our decisions by the truths that He has revealed, and we are obedient to Him. Not to say that everyone has to be a Christian, but I do believe reverence for His word and the things that He has revealed to us, that should be the guiding principles in our life. And so every time when I hear someone say, "You know, God bless America," well, God has blessed America. He has richly blessed this nation and has richly blessed the people of this country. But so many times now we see that that's just a phrase to be used, when we as individuals throughout this country should always praise God and thank God for His blessings. Psalms 42. And in Psalms 42 starts, as my Bible has it, book 2, the ending of book 1. There are the Psalms are divided up into four books. Starting in Psalms 42, Psalms 41 was the last Psalm of David. This is the Psalm of the sons of Korah. So starting in verse 42, starting in verse 1 and 2, and we sing a hymn by this, "As the Lord Pants." And again, it reminds me of back to Matthew in the on this the Beatitudes. Let's see. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." And starting in verse 1 in Psalms 42, "As a deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for thee, O Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with the voice and joy of thanksgiving and multitude keeping festival." How many times we have gone through, and those of us that have been a Christian for a long period of time, how many times have we gone through a spiritual dryness, a spiritual a desert time, where we're longing, we have a spiritual restlessness within us, and we return to God's word, and we receive a blessing. And just like the deer panting for water, we the same thing, we crave that. We crave God's word and the wisdom that comes from reading and studying God's word. That is how our souls are revived. In Psalms 43, "Troubled times come upon us, but we trust in God, and His word is light and truth." In verse 3 of Psalms 43, "O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me. Let them bring me to thy holy hill and to thy dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and upon the lyre I shall praise thee, O God, my God." Sometimes in reading scripture, we have to try to encourage ourselves. And in verse 5, I see this. Sometimes it's almost as though we're giving ourselves or our spirit a pep talk. "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God." So many times when faced with a personal difficulties or things that come upon me, I read like the epistles, especially when Paul is writing to Timothy and he charges him, you know, to be ready. And I give you this charge before Jesus Christ, to be ready to preach the word in season and out of season. Be ready. And he goes on to say about how he has run the race and he has kept the faith. And that should be an encouragement to all of us. And from time to time, I think we do need to try to give ourselves a pep talk, as well as lifting up our brethren who may be going through a difficult time. Psalms 44, a true and brief history of the children of Israel. And that can be found in verses 1 through 3. O God, we have heard with our ears, our fathers have told us, the work that thou didst in their day, in the days of old. Thou with thine own hand didst drive out the nations. Then thou didst plant them. Thou didst afflict the peoples. Then thou didst spread them abroad. For by their own sword they did not possess the land, and their own arm did not save them. But thy right hand and thy arm and the light of thy presence, for thou didst favor them. And we just see here, like I said, just in three verses, God led them out of the bondage in Egypt, led them to the promised land. He gave them houses and vineyards, lands that they didn't, houses that they didn't build, vineyards that they didn't plant, and allowed them to prosper. And as long as they were faithful to God, he continued to bless them. But time and time again, they turned their back on God. And then finally he did. He scattered them abroad. He took them into exile. And they would never be a nation ever again. Verses 13 and 14 of Psalms 44. Thou didst make us a reproach to our neighbors, a scoffing and a derision to those around us. Thou didst make us a byword among the nations, a laughingstock among the peoples. And this is what happened to the Hebrews as they were scattered throughout the Middle East there. They were mocked because if God was the God of old that led and did all these things, which he did, these people surely were the evidence of God turning their back on them and allowing them to be taken away into captivity. So many times, though, I think about Christians today. This certain verses here that I've underlined, these refer to our Lord Jesus. Psalms 45, verses 2, verses 6 and 7 and 17, all refer back to Jesus. Thou art fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured out upon thy lips. Therefore God has blessed thee forever. And in verse 6 and 7, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of joy above thy fellows. And in verse 17, I will cause thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore the peoples will give thanks to thee forever and ever. In Psalms 46, we read that God is our stronghold, and we are to have confidence in God, for he is always in control. Verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And then dropping down to verse 10, cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. In verse 47, God is king of the earth. He has been and always will be the king of earth. We should praise him for that and for that always. And starting, in verse 7, for God is king of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful psalm. God reigns over the nations. He sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have assembled themselves as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Psalms 48. This is praise. This is praising God for his greatness and his ever-loving kindness toward us. And in verse 9, of Psalms 48, 9 and 10. We have thought on thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. As in thy name, O God, so is thy praise to the end of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Verse 49, or Psalms 49, we are not to trust in riches, but to put our trust only in God. Psalms 49, starting in verse 16. Do not be afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not descend after him. Though while he is living, he congratulates himself, and though men praise you when you do well for yourself, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see the light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. In the last psalm, Psalms 50, this is the psalm of Asaph. Trust God and live. Reject God and you will pay for your sins. To trust God and live, verses 4 through 6. He summoned the heavens above and the earth to judge his people. Gather my godly ones to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. We too have made a sacrifice. We have accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and our life is now lived in Christ, not for ourselves. And then those who reject God will ultimately pay for their sins. In verse 16, but to the wicked God says, what right have you to tell of my statutes and to take my covenant in your mouth? For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you associate with adulterers. You let your mouth loose in evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have kept silent. You thought that I was just like you. I will reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes. I love reading that because it reminds me of the day of reckoning in which those who walk about in this life, and it's throughout the world, I see this arrogance and this selfishness and this self-centeredness. And these people think that they're going to have the last laugh, and they're not. God will have the final say. He has always had the final say in every nation, even those wicked nations that God has allowed to rise up to bring about his purpose to deal with his people. That's my recap of Psalms 27 through 50. I hope that it has been an encouragement. I hope that we, as we continue to read through the Psalms for the next 4 weeks, that we can look at these Psalms and we can look at the psalmists as they try to put into words the deep feelings that are in their heart and the troubles that they have gone through, that they have experienced, and through the Holy Spirit and through God's help, how they've overcome that. Thank you.